Good evening. It is good to see each of you. If you're a guest this evening, thank you for being with us. It does encourage us that you made the time to be here, and we hope that it's an encouragement to all of us to be together to worship God, to study from His Word. If you would be open your Bibles to Romans, the first chapter. In just a few minutes, we'll begin a lesson where we'll look at the first, second, and third chapter under one scope. And it's a very beautiful, beautiful passage that helps us to better understand the wrath of God. And it is a fact that we can't appreciate the grace of God unless we understand the wrath of God. Now, that might not make complete sense to you at this moment, and it may make very good sense to you at this moment. But hopefully, at least by the time we finish studying Romans 1, 2, and 3, it'll make sense to all of us that we will have a greater appreciation for the grace of God because we understand the wrath of God. It's been a good evening already. I appreciate the congregation's hospitality with the delicious meal that we had together, to the ladies and perhaps men that helped prepare that, and then for everybody that came and we enjoyed that time of fellowship. It's good to see God's children together. And it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity that God gives us to live in His family and to get to know other members of His family throughout the kingdom. Wrath. Wrath. Do you understand wrath? There was a couple that had been married 50 years and they were celebrating their 50th anniversary, and it was known throughout this little small town of how the peaceful tranquility that this couple had within their marriage. And so a reporter was literally going to run a little article in their newspaper, the town's newspaper, about their 50th anniversary. And so he went and he interviewed them. And he went over and sat beside the man for a little while. And he said, "You know, everybody knows how peaceful you guys are." I said, "Is there a secret to that? Can you think back to a time where maybe all of that began?" And without hesitation, the older fellow said, "Sure. I can tell you exactly when it began." He said, "You see, we went out west on our honeymoon and said we decided we'd stop at the Grand Canyon and said we wanted to ride the mules down into the Grand Canyon. She was on her mule and I was on my mule, and I noticed just as we started down, her mule stumbled just a little bit, and she sternly said, 'That's once.' And then we got to the bottom of the canyon and said her mule stumbled again just a little bit, and she said, 'That's twice.' And we made it all the way back almost to the top of the canyon, And her mule stumbled again just a little bit and said, 'She said, that's three times.' She swung off of her mule, reached in her purse, pulled out a pistol, shot the mule dead." And he said, "I kind of reacted to that. I said, 'Honey, don't you think that you're a little bit overacting there? Aren't you a little bit angry there? That wasn't really necessary, was it? That mule did a good job of getting you down the bottom and back up. Honey, why did you do that?" She turned and looked at him and said, "That's once." Now, when you think about wrath, we understand human wrath very well. We understand it all too well sometimes. And so then we bring up a very important topic tonight, and that is God's wrath. And we kind of struggle with understanding that sometimes. And one of the reasons why we struggle in understanding that is we try to see God's wrath equal to man's wrath. And that's just not the case. You see, our wrath is very emotional based, and it's usually characterized by doing and saying things that aren't correct. In other words, oftentimes our wrath is stirred out of selfishness. Our wrath oftentimes is a loss of control, self-control. How many times have you seen individuals, and perhaps all of us, surely all of us have been there sometime in our life, if not many times, where we have to go back later and we apologize to someone and we usually say something like this: "I'm sorry I said that or did that. Listen, I lost my temper. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry." You see, we understand wrath in that way. And then we try to understand God's wrath. Does God make mistakes and lose His self-control? Does He act out of a selfish nature? And then we kind of back up and scratch our heads. I guess that's God's wrath. Friends, this is very important because we cannot appreciate the grace of God unless we understand the wrath of God. What is God's wrath? Maybe a second reason that we know that there is a problem in understanding God's wrath is because we live in a religious culture. I'm not talking about just the church here. I'm talking about religion in general in our communities. We live in a religious culture that has formulated in their mind a God who is wrathless. Now, we understand what it is to say, here's a group of people and they worship an idol and they've carved this idol out. They've given a name to this idol. They have come up in their mind's eye what this idol would ask of them. We understand the idea of idolatry. But do you realize that we have the same ability to create God, even if we don't carve Him out of wood or stone? We have the ability to create a God in our mind. And when we do that, instead of seeing who is the Almighty God that is revealed to us in the Scripture, instead, we come up with the idea of who is God, and we place the characteristics that we want God to have. And so in a religious culture, we have created, or at least some have created, a God who is wrathless. And if you don't believe it, go to funerals. Now friends, I'm not putting down any individual. I'm just giving you something to think about as our society. What is the general perception of God? What if we took a challenge right now to say that over the next 100 days we'd go to 100 funerals, and at the end of 100 days we would keep a tally of how many funerals that we went to that it was said during the funeral something about this person being in heaven? How many would it be? Probably 100 out of 100. And if not, it'd probably be at least 94, 95 out of 100. You know, people that have never gone to church a day in their life, people that have never prayed a prayer to God, people that have never made any kind of commitment whatsoever to God, but still somebody will stand at their funeral and say, you know, they're one of the best bass fishermen I've ever seen. Can you imagine right now? They're probably up there teaching Peter how to fish up in heaven. You hear statements like that all the time. Oh, really? Really? You mean to tell me that we serve a God who is 100% wrathless? There is nothing that stirs His wrath. You know, in individual Bible studies, I rarely sit down and study with an adult or a teenager that doesn't believe that they're already saved. You can study today with individuals that have never gone to church. They've never had any kind of religious connection at all. And you can still ask them, by the way, do you believe in God? Yes. So, do you believe in heaven? Yes, yes. What do you believe right now? If you passed away right now, what do you believe? Oh, I'd be saved. Listen, I'm a good person. I'm a good neighbor. I've been good to my children while they were growing up. I believe absolutely I'd be saved. Have you wondered why people don't really appreciate the grace of God? Why would you appreciate God's grace if we do not understand the wrath of God? You see, the reason we've made grace cheap is because we've created in our culture a God who has no wrath. Tonight, if we said anybody that illegally parked in the parking lot tonight, that means even if your tire is on a line, you're going to have to pay the penalty for illegal parking. Are you ready to pay that penalty? It's just a penny. You say, that's no problem, I'll park the same way tomorrow night. All right, what if we said it's death penalty? Now how serious is it that you violated the law? Friends, if we make the wrath of God so little, then when we talk about the grace of God, it has no significance because there's nothing to be saved from. And so tonight, what's so important for us to understand the wrath of God is, number one, to see what God teaches about Himself. But number two, when we understand what He's teaching about Himself in wrath, it's going to wake up our eyes so that then by the time we get to the third chapter of Romans, we're going to really be crying out saying, I must have the grace of God in my life. And so let's consider this study tonight where we'll spend much of the time talking about wrath, but the truth is we're getting to the end toward the third chapter where really the reason we study the wrath of God is so that we can love and cry out and respond in a righteous manner to the grace of God. So first, what is the wrath of God? Look in your Bibles, Romans, the first chapter. In this writing here in Romans 1, he gives us insight to what's in the Scripture. You see there in Romans 1 and 16, he's talking about the Scriptures, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then it's in verse 17 that he says, for in it, now what's in it? In the gospel of Christ, in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Isn't that interesting that God tells us what is right? It is, notice the terminology there, it is revealed to us. Right now, if we had a painting up here and there was a drape over the painting and an artist was standing up here and he said, I want to tell you about what I was thinking about that inspired this painting. I want to tell you the name of this painting. I want to tell you how long it took me to paint this. And the whole time you're wondering, what does it look like? Well, at the proper time, the drape would be pulled off and it would be revealed. How do you know what is right? Well, I had good parents. No, that's not how you know what's right. You may have had good parents, but your parents are not God. How do you know what is right? Well, I just had the best grandparents. My grandmother, she is Christian all of her life. She's the one that has taught me what was right. No, no, your grandmother is not the standard of righteousness. How do you know what is right? It is in the gospel that righteousness is revealed. We learn in God's Word what is right. Now, is there going to be anything negative revealed in the gospel? Absolutely. Look at the very next verse. We haven't changed the topic. It's the same thing in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So see, in 17 he tells us that in the Scriptures, righteousness is revealed. And then in 18 he says, it is the wrath of God that is revealed. Ah. So there's something that stirs God's wrath. What is it that stirs God's wrath? All. How much is all? All. All ungodliness and unrighteousness. All. Ungodliness and unrighteousness stirs the wrath of God. Why does sin make God angry? You see, wrath, by definition, is literally a passion to punish that which deserves punishing. That's literally what wrath is, by definition. Why is it that God is passionate about punishing wrongdoing? There was a writer about 100 years ago, and I want to tell you that so that you'll understand the illustration he gives and put it into perspective of 100 years ago. He made a very simple but powerful illustration to help us understand